How do you deal with scammers on your mobile phone? Hawkers, scammers, people trying to sell you stuff, talk you into stuff. Because the dark arts of manipulation through your smartphone are the subject of a very interesting, what would you call it, Jeff? Seminar-y thing?
Yes, a public event. It's bringing the dark arts out in front of a live audience.
Jeff Payne joins you from Behaviour Works, Monash University. Also at Monash is Abby Wild. Abby has an undergraduate degree in neuroscience and history from Harvard. Goodness gracious, I'm intimidated already, Abby. Yeah. What exactly have you prepared with Jeff?
Yeah, thank you. Well, so when I went at my first research position, actually, was working with someone at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government about the principles of persuasion. And they were quite curious to understand what it is that makes certain kinds of messages effective and persuasive. And some of the things that we're quite interested in is how some of those techniques of understanding how humans make decisions, what we find interesting or manipulative, how those could be used to try and exploit you as well. And so that's kind of what our interest in this has been, is how scammers are so intuitive about understanding what the principles of persuasion are and how to use those chinks in the human armor to steer you or to get things from you.
Okay, so this is a seminar that's being held on Thursday, August the 22nd. It's called The Change Room.
Yep.
Jeff, you're well known to our audiences on our Sunday Health and Wellness Show, where we try and keep the brain clear to kind of cut through the toss that gets sent our way.
Yep.
What are you hoping to give people the tools to do?
Just to understand how they are influenced and manipulated. So the change rooms are kind of events where we talk about behaviour change, and this one's particularly about scammers and influence. So I guess if you could say a busker is someone that asks you for money, a mugger is someone that dumps you for money. In a way, these are the sort of arts where telemarketers try and get money out of you. Scammers are actually pushing a little bit harder, but they're using similar techniques.
Tell me about the scammers in terms, we've talked about telemarketing on the program this morning. How do you deal with a scammer or recognise one?
Well, so this is what Abby and I will be talking about. They use the same techniques of deception and dishonesty. They'll pretend to be from the tax department. They'll pretend to be from a government, the police sometimes. They'll pretend to be someone else. Sometimes they'll call people and say, I am a friend of your niece. She's in trouble. I need some money to get her out of the hospital or out of the airport in Bali, something like that. So they're clever. They use the chinks in their armour.
What have you discovered about the techniques of scammers, Abby? What makes them successful, the hallmarks of a successful scammer?
Yeah, it's interesting to see that there are some commonalities that keep emerging between scams. And some of the techniques that you see quite a lot are, I mean, Jeff used the example then of the tax office or the NBN. And so people are calling with pretending to be figures of authority. And so quite often, right away when you answer the phone, a combination of politeness and also just a general deference to authority makes us believe that people are who they say they are when they ring us. And so you already are listening for the information rather than questioning the credentials of the people. And then they often also introduce an element of urgency. I don't know if one of the scams that I've received several times is the tax office.
Yeah, I got a tax office.
And so they often call and say that if you don't immediately pay your back paid tax, then you are going to be under threat of prosecution and arrest. And that is exactly the thing. And then they often say, press 1 to be connected to your tax agent rather than dialing the number. And so, again, they're using both urgency and the authority against you, so to speak.
And secrecy.
Completely. You can't see someone over the phone. That is the point about speaking to someone. You can't see their identification. You don't know who you're talking to.
Love scammers?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Cruel.
Well, it is cruel. And the stats would say that more women are subject to romance scams than men, but men are more subject to investment scams. So the topics they say are need and greed.
Steve's called in. Hi, Steve.
G'day. How are you?
Good, thank you. How can you contribute to this conversation?
I'm a former ATO employee, so I know the sort of questions you say to, or things you say to people when you ring taxpayers.
Yeah.
And it's very quick to bring these people undone. You know, they come on as though they're from the ATO.
Yeah.
Just ask them what their AGS number is, which is the Australian Government Service number.
Oh, great.
Which is normally an 8-digit number.
Oh, right.
And usually a hyphen after the first three numbers.
Steve, can I ask you, what's your AGS number? No, you don't have time. Good. This is great.
And they often flummox around. They don't know what AGS means. And then they
just told them.
Yeah.
No, but they don't even know how many digits are in it, so they'll rattle off those four
digits. That's great.
And then ask them what office they're from. Ask them what area they're working in. And they're all specific things that they should know if they're an ATO employee.
Thanks,
and they
Joe.
Just can't answer them.
Excellent work.
Thank you.
Hello. Oh, that must be Joe there. Hi, Joe.
Top of the morning, ladies. On a couple of occasions, I've been threatened that the police were on their way unless through the taxation office, etc., if I didn't send across money. So I actually would say that I'll have a cup of tea waiting for them because the police have a really hard job to do. And because I didn't get the letter in the mail, that I'd be waiting for them, and I'd really like to have a lovely chat with the police when they got there.
See, this is blending our two conversations, being cruel and kind at the same time.
Exactly. So politeness. Thing, yeah, sorry, go on, John.
Sorry, the other thing I was always going to say is that I could always say that obviously there's been a computer error, which is an ID10T. So the letters ID, the number 10, and then the letter T. Yeah. And if you write that down...
Idiot. Nice. That's funny. You know, it's the usual giveaway. It's the Russian accent. I have had I am Officer Owen Campbell from the Australian Tax Department. And I go, wait, you don't sound like an Owen. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Exactly. Margot, hello.
Yes. I had the tax office scammer one about 12 months ago, and I was pretty hysterical, Vince, because we're both over 80 and don't pay tax.
Did you tell them that?
No, I just rang our local police and they came up, but only this week, without any knowledge whatsoever, I went to pay for my groceries and my card wouldn't work. It was declined. So I went to the bank to find out, and we'd been scammed with no notification or anything. Now, they tell me they have a machine that as they walk past you can actually take your number through your handbag and everything without you even knowing.
The bank will give you your money back, though, Margot, won't they?
Oh, they did.
Yeah, of course they did. They've got a fraud squad.
But we also got a scammer's card now that you can buy and put in your pocket or your bag with your card.
To block
and that
people.
Stops them.
Good advice, Margot. Yeah. Thank you.
So, you know, banking scams. There was a woman this week who had $500,000 that she thought she was sending to a conveyancing to buy a house. It had been hacked. It was sent to a different account, and she got the money back. But she got the whole of the money back, and that's quite rare.
Yes.
So they can be very, very clever. They can, I mean, legitimately, if you thought it was conveyancing to buy an apartment, you would go, well, actually, yes, you would electronically transfer funds that way. So sometimes it's the English. The sentence is not quite right. The language is not quite right. And you go, wait a minute, I don't think you are from the bank, the ATO, the conveyancer, the police. This is not quite right. There's something funny about the sentence structure. That's usually a giveaway.
But there is a really high level of sophistication of scamming now. And so while there are certain communications that might be a red flag, I mean, David Lacey, one of the professors who researches this a lot, has been speaking a lot with ScamWatch this week about how often these are multinational organizations that will have sometimes as many as 5,000 employees that have techniques that are really sophisticated to try to use various financial instruments.
I wonder if they're an organization that deals in illicit activities if they actually pay tax. That's an interesting thought. Danny, hello.
Oh, hi. Look, I had a very good teacher in Mum as I was growing up, and any hawkers that came to the tour were really abruptly dealt with. But any phone calls that I get from anyone that is vaguely suspicious, I'm happy to keep them on the line, have a chat, but as soon as they ask for any personal information or that sense of urgency that your guests are talking about, I ask them for a return phone number.
Yeah.
I'm very sceptical. I'll try to call that number, and often it doesn't even answer. I'll then follow up every time, without fail, a call to the institution who they say they were from and just ask them if that is a possible scam, etc., and they're happy to take the details of the call. But I've never been caught. Touch wood, I hope I don't, but I know a lot of my friends have, and it just seems so easy to get scammed.
Yeah, I can imagine. And then, of course, you've always got this option, which is just that.
Yeah.
So in winding up, I'm so sorry we can't get to any further calls. There's been so many of you wanting to play, but we're just running out of time. To conclude.
Some tips would be urgency. If you don't make an urgent decision. Is that right, Abby?
Yeah, that's right. And actually, the point that the last caller made is fantastic, which is it's okay to be friendly and personable and assume even that people have good motives when they call you, but just be very careful before parting with any identity information or any payment information.
Yeah, I wouldn't be parting with any identity information or payment information. This particular Dark Arts of Manipulation seminar for your smartphone is run by Behaviour Works at Monash University. Jeff, you'll be there?
I will. And Abby, we are co-presenting.
It's on Thursday, August the 22nd at 5:30.
At a Dialogue in the City. So thank you so much.
An absolute pleasure. Yeah. Thank you very much.